Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The fascination with the Colorado Buffaloes continues. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Deion Sanders, obviously at the helm. His son Shador as the quarterback. They're back for a second year, moving to the Big 12 after a four-win season in the Pac-12 last year, Perloff. But this is interesting, right? So there was a big story written in The Athletic following up on all of the people and all the student-athletes who transferred or hit the portal when Deion Sanders first got to Colorado. Famously, he walks in, he says, listen, you guys aren't going to be here because I'm bringing my own baggage. It's Louis Vuitton, and everyone get ready to hit the portal. And he did this mass exodus of guys. So The Athletic did a piece where they caught up with all the rest of these guys to figure out how their lives are going 1 year later. And a lot of the guys seem pretty hurt by it, some more than others. But there was one defensive back named Xavier Smith who gave a quote that said about Deion, you never even tried to get to know me. You know, you are destroying guys' confidence because you never really gave them the time of day before you essentially cut them. And then Shador kind of blasted back on social media saying, I don't even remember this guy, to be honest. Bro had to be very mid at best. So that's basically just a lot of trash talk about how this guy doesn't deserve to be, you know, commenting, I guess, on Colorado. And now here Shador is calling out former Colorado Buffaloes. Did I set that up okay?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Just like, well, what's the exact Shador? Did you read word for word what Shador said?
Well, I mean, he's a young kid and I'm not.
Well, I love, I need you to say it exactly how Shador wrote it.
All right. I didn't even remember him, to be honest, TBH. Bro had to be very mid at best.
It's so casually dismissive. It is the ultimate, like,
it's like you, a teenager. Like,
you don't even, but it's just so, like, God, you're not even on my radar, dude. That is the ultimate insult. You're right, trash. So I think you can read this one of two ways. Is it sort of not the way a quarterback, a leader of men should act, or is it just trash talk, like basketball style?
So to me, this is punching down. And I think that if this was another quarterback like a Caleb Williams or really anyone who did this kind of thing, I think that they would get criticism for it. So just because Shador is the son of a famous trash talker and someone who always backed up what he was doing in Deion Sanders and we loved him for it, doesn't mean it's still not punching down. I mean, you can just not say anything. And I don't think that this article, and I read it, it's not that Colorado's under attack here. I don't think they were, you know, I think people have generally moved on from what Deion did and kind of sweeping out the whole class and bringing in new transfers. And, you know, you either liked it, you didn't like it, but this feels like piling on, punching down, bullying a little bit. And I think Shador should get criticized for it, just like every other quarterback prospect would get criticized for it.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. But it just feels, I'm gonna chalk it up to being generational. It's not exactly Cale Williams wearing, what's it, nail polish?
Yeah.
But it just feels like the way kids use Instagram and TikTok and everything, like, I don't know, for some reason, I'm not killing him for this. It feels almost like a lighthearted comment.
Well, here's the thing. The bigger the stage, the thicker the skin. And nobody knows that more than Deion Sanders. And it's something that his kids are also going to have to learn a little bit. And there's like a time to go after people, and there's a time to do this, and then there's a time to sort of rise above and just keep it moving. And if I had come off a season where I won four games, I'm probably going to keep it moving. And you could criticize a guy who went on to then play for a group of five and not even a power five and maybe shouldn't have been playing at the power five level anyway. But now I'm Shador, and welcome to the world of expectations, which I'm sure he's fine with. But also, now people are gunning at you. And they were last year, too, because they thought this was like a gimmick and circus and the clicks and all of that. But if I'm Shador, right now I haven't done much to back it up in terms of winning. He's a good prospect, no doubt. But let's do a little more winning before we start punching down again, as I said, about guys who are critical of, you know, Deion basically never even getting to know their names.
But that means if you were 10-2 last year, you could have punched down. So because he didn't win, he can't say this. If he does win, then he can be a jerk.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a time and place for everything. And if I was 10-2, I'd keep it moving even more. Or if I was a 10-win team, I'd keep it moving even more than if I was a 4-win team, because now you really shouldn't be concerning yourself. With every person who comes and is critical or has something to say, you're going to spend your whole life then trying to fight back at every person who has an opinion. And it's not worth your time. And the quicker that he realizes that, I'm not trying to be like, hey, I'm an older person telling a younger person how to be. But to be honest, like, this, your profile is only going up and up and up. And again, get a thicker skin.
Yeah, but also, too, I think it's because the implicit criticism is of his dad, Deion Sanders, that these transfers are saying, like, Deion didn't treat me well. So I think that Shador is getting territorial about his family, which I totally understand.
Sure.
And I also think, like, let's talk about, if we're really talking about Shador, I don't care what he tweets. I care about, hey, did they fix that offensive line? You know, they got a ridiculous transfer class. I mean, they might be a 4-win team, but they're recruiting like a top 10 team. I think they got six new linemen, and they really, like, now we're talking, like, this is a serious thing now. Are they going to fix everything that went wrong last year? Shador got murdered every time he dropped back last year.
Brutal.
So I don't care what he's tweeting. I feel like I'm dying to see, like, are they going to actually put a real team around Shador? Are we going to see what he can do as a quarterback?
Well, it's fascinating. And from the football side of it, no doubt. And we're talking about Shador Sanders sort of clapping back on Twitter against someone who was told by Deion to hit the portal when he first got to Colorado and said, Deion never even tried to get to know me, you know, and I felt like I was disposable and stuff like that. Now,
yeah. I mean, they were a 1-win team.
I know.
But like,
you can still, how you treat people though, when they have less power than you, and how you treat people when you are hold the power and they don't, is the most revealing thing about someone's character.
Right.
Because
but
how
Deion
you treat someone
in,
when you need something from them is totally different than when someone is, you know, like not in your world anymore, not in your orbit.
But did you criticize Deion when he came into Colorado and cut everybody in that open thing?
I did. Because I thought this is what, not that I criticized him for doing it, because I think other coaches have. I criticized it for making a TV show out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're already getting all this attention because you're Deion. Do you have to embarrass these kids for your YouTube channel? Like, we're going to pay attention to you no matter what. And I thought that was embarrassing them for the sake of his own, like, brand, I guess. And again, like, what did you get out of that? You're a full-grown man, a Hall of Famer, and an unassailable star who's revered. You got to show all these guys getting cut? It was like an episode of Hard Knocks.
I feel like he was a little Monday morning quarterback
of
that. If he had, I remember to see that you were actually like buying Deion Sanders jerseys and sunglasses.
I was him for Halloween. I'm not saying that. I could still
feel like you were kind of all in on the Deion thing.
And I was critical of that move. And I was still in on how exciting.
But it's all part of Deion. Yeah, it's all sort of part of, like, you can't have him be Deion and not go in like they're an all brass. So I think the brassness is part of the Deion experience. And now Shador.
Okay, take me up. Here's another question. How much stuff has to be around Shador before it does start to impact him in any way? And here's what I mean. This tweet could be read by some people. It's being read by me as sort of a punch-down bully move, him clapping back at a guy who Deion told to hit the portal last year, who said he was offended by it. There's also the stuff in the air about Deion's going to determine where Shador plays in the NFL. This is stuff that swirled around Caleb Williams, and people criticized him, and we weren't even sure if it was true. It was something that Colin Cowherd said, that their camp immediately came out and said, we have no problem playing in Chicago, right? So that was a rumor, just like, this is even more than a rumor. I mean, Deion has come out and said, I'm going to have a say in where my kid goes.
So what's the question?
How much of this kind of stuff that would be red flags and would be, you know, character things, dings, if you will, for other prospects, how many things of these can you have before it impacts Shador at all?
I 0.0, because Caleb Williams obviously went number one overall. If Shador plays well, he'll go number one overall. I think the teams...
But he might not go to the place where people want him to go. It could be pulling Eli Manning.
That could be true, but I don't think as a prospect. I mean, teams, we're talking about all this chemistry stuff and locker room stuff and tweets and stuff. If a guy can play, a team will look over any character thing they can, especially as long as the guy is not like really running into trouble with the law.
And that's not what Shador is
at all. I think NFL teams are amazing at rationalization, and there is no tweet he could send that's not going to be criminal that is going to knock him down the draft boards. I mean, come on, NFL teams need quarterbacks so badly too. You were just talking about that earlier in the show. The demand is so strong. There is not. I don't know what he could do on Twitter to knock him down, or was this Twitter or Instagram? Twitter on social media. There's nothing he could do. If that guy can really play, the NFL teams are at the end of the day not care at all. I mean, maybe this Deion thing is messy, but if you're the number one team, you're probably a losing team. You probably want some of this energy, believe it or not. I don't even know if this is a negative. I think Sanders' character could be a huge positive. Like, yeah, let's bring in this arrogance. Let's bring in this cockiness. I want some of whatever Deion has.
I think the last thing that NFL teams want are their players on social media.
Yeah, but they'll overlook it. I mean, they have to at this point.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Ramon is in Indianapolis. Good morning, Ramon.
Hey, good morning, Mike. 2, 3, 4 favorite analysts in the morning. I love listening to you guys. Maggie, I'm with you 100% Burlow. Yeah, the NFL teams are taken, but trust me, we just looked at this draft that happened. I'm trying to figure out which teams are going to be bad next year, and so who's going to take them. Because trust me, you'll get humbled real easy. I mean, my first year walking on in college baseball, and I was this real great pitcher, and I got rocked pretty a good time. So you'll get humbled in sports. Trust me. And I don't like Deion them in their mouth too much. They haven't done a thing. Okay, I don't hear Kirby Smart, who won 2 titles, doing all this talking. Nick Saban deserved to talk with 7, and so we gave him a little leeway. Belichick was 6. They haven't done anything to be sitting up here doing all this talking. Now, I'm a coach, and I don't like that. I'll tell my children in a minute, be quiet and let your game do your talk. They do it. They want the clicks. They want the likes. That's exactly what that one cornerback said. That's exactly what he said, and I believe it, because they make a whole lot of dime on social media too. So I want to see performance on the field. People think the Big 12 is going to be easy. I think they're going to get their heads cracked again if they don't get their act together and realize football is what he's there to get paid for and develop children too. And do we want children and young people behaving this way? That's the problem we're having now. Trust me, I coach 10 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm telling you, we don't want this. Thanks for taking my call.
Ramon, appreciate you weighing in, as always. Now, here's the thing. I think Deion has done the winning. He's the one who could back it up, right? But
right.
To Ramon's point, for the Buffalo's part portion of this, they haven't done a whole heck of a lot. It was exciting in the beginning. They get off to the 3-win start. Everyone's on the bandwagon. The Rock's showing up at games. It's fun. It's exciting. But now it is winning time, isn't it?
No, it's not. I mean, they were what? How many? 1 win to 4 win. If they jump 3 more wins to 7, that's not bad. I mean,
it'll be bowl eligible.
Actually, Deion did talk about resetting the goals and said bowl eligible the other day. And Ramon had a good point. The Big 12 schedule got suddenly really tricky. It seems like Arizona are good. I got to tell you, I think Shador's personality is a plus for teams. I've watched a lot of interviews with Shador. He seems like a mature young man. I don't think that people are dinging him at all. I think teams would want a Shador Sanders. He's also a little older, and I think that's a good thing. Like, he's going to come in. He's coming out of this circus in Colorado. I don't think the NFL is going to be too daunting in him.
Let's go to Rich is in Chicago. Hey, Rich.
Hey. I want the subject is perfect because I had it on my list to talk about the 2025 draft, because I like the Athletics. And they've already put out their next year's draft, mock draft.
Yeah.
And they've been good historically. So I kind of took a quick look at that, see who they like. Bro, if you're not going to like this, your boy Sanders is like the third-rated quarterback on the board. At this is, again, a mock draft at 22. The guys ahead of him are Beck at Georgia.
Yeah.
Is the second pick.
Yeah, and I love Carson Beck.
Yeah, and Ewers at Texas at 14. They got Sanders at 22. But yeah. Here's why I don't like Sanders. First of all, I don't like his dad either. First of all, what has he proven as a coach? Forget all the, you know, the pizzazz as a player.
Well, he had success at Jackson State.
Yeah, well, hey, 1 year.
Three years.
Well, you're talking that, yeah, he had one great year.
Yeah.
And that's a 1AA school. Now he's playing with the big boys. If you look at their schedule, because you're right about the Big 12, they'll be lucky to go 4-8. Now, if you're the NFL, you want to draft a guy who shoots his mouth off. He's currently rated third in next year's draft, and I know it's early, but you really want a guy with that kind of attitude that hasn't won. He hasn't won anything, nor has his father. And the other thing I don't like about it, he's got Travis Hunter, who's ranked 9th, who's fabulous.
Yeah.
So he's got a go-to guy, and his father coaches him. You ever heard of Pete Maravich and his dad? He's got a license to do whatever he wants. That isn't going to happen in the NFL. Mm. I would stay so far away from Sanders.
Yeah, but Rich, I think thank you, Rich. Appreciate it always. You come with the info, and it's a solid call. But, you know, listen, I don't want to seem like I'm attacking Shador. I didn't think this was a good look. This looked like punching down on social media to somebody who was, you know, felt disposable and felt made disposable by Deion Sanders coming in and saying, get out of here. You know, didn't even get to know my name is what he said. And listen, maybe that happens with other coaches, but now he said it and then Shador claps back and says, I don't even remember this guy. Clearly he must have been mid, which means middling, like, you know.
Mediocre.
And you don't need to do that. You don't need to insult somebody because this person is, you know, every person who gives their opinion about Deion or about the program, you can't concern yourself with that. The skin's got to get thicker. That was my only point.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I agree with Rich, too. Like, yeah, this is not an ideal look. We had a draft expert on about a month ago. It might have been Brugler. It might have been Nagy said that look for Sanders. He's about a 20 to 30 player in the draft. Like, he's not built like a number one overall pick. I think his size is actually a little bit of a concern. But our buddy Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, his mock draft for 2025, different than the Athletic. He has Shador 1 and Travis Hunter 2. Let's go. That's a much more fun version. I got to be honest, like Travis Hunter, I can't see him falling to 9. That doesn't sound right.
Imagine how much Deion would be talking if his two guys went 1 and 2.
That'd Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is always, he was like, you know how Caleb Williams is a freshman, you knew he was going to be the number one overall pick? Travis Hunter sure seems like a top 3 pick in the NFL.
Super talented, two-way player, unreal. Wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Heisman this year if he stays healthy because he's so unique in what he does.
Wins the Heisman, by the way, that means that they were bowl eligible.
Yeah, that's true. So first
that's
step
good
in winning
for
the Heisman, get bowl eligible.
Yeah. We're talking about can Shador win 4 games and be the number one overall pick. You just gave Travis Hunter the Heisman.
Hell, he's really talented. Okay, coming up, we get more on LeBron James's future. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
To go ahead and jump in the portal.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We're still trying to figure out exactly how the 76ers beat the Knicks last night and what it means big picture. Maggie actually thinks LeBron tweeting about Tyrese Maxey's incredible last-minute performance could be a sign of things to come.
Listen, I think LeBron's always scouting, right? He's always scouting his next situation. Who does he want to team up with? And a big moment like that with Maxey, I think, would stand out when the guy's only a couple weeks away from making this big decision. Now, that's what I think. Let's get the thoughts of someone who has been covering LeBron James since day one, somebody who also calls Ohio home, and that is Joe Vardon from The Athletic. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Okay, what do you think about my theory that LeBron is scouting and that Tyrese Maxey could have left a very good impression on him last night?
I love you. I don't love your theory.
Fair. Why not?
Well, look, I mean, not many teams even have salary cap space. The Sixers certainly do not. You know, LeBron is going to make the maximum amount of money. So to even talk about this, this would have to be some sort of sign and trade. I don't know what the Sixers would offer the Lakers that they would be interested in. I think they would like Tyrese Maxey, and I don't think that's going to be the case. So I am so far out there on this. You know, I was on your show in that chair next to you talking about the same thing. I just, I think he's a Laker. I think there's too many reasons for him to stay there and want to end his career there. And so until something breaks from that, this is all just bluster.
Oh, man, I thought the 76ers were star chasing this offseason. I thought they were going to have room, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Sorry, Perloff, go ahead.
Yeah, oh, okay, before we get into him saying the Lakers, what about the Warriors or the Mavericks, two other teams who've been linked to him? Is there any chance that they can pry him loose, or there's just no situation out there other than L.A.?
Well, I suppose I wouldn't say that there isn't any situation out there other than the Lakers. But, you know, I don't think that LeBron wants to go somewhere where it isn't his team. Like, if he went to the Warriors, he would be like a house guest. And, you know, he's going to play for Steve and he's going to play with Steph this summer and it's going to be great. But I don't see, like, if you think about the most defining moment of his career, it was beating the Warriors. And then also it was the Warriors who pretty much ruined the chance, the real chance that he had to build a dynasty in Cleveland and surpass Michael in championships. And that was the fault of the Warriors. So I just don't see that for him. You know, I mean, sure, Dallas is with those two guys that they have, you know, and Luka and Kyrie. He's always wanted to reunite with Kyrie. That's fine. But I just, again, I just think, you know, there's too many reasons for the Lakers, and they are certainly going to try to take a big swing and make a trade for an impact guard.
Joe Vardon is joining us. He covers the NBA for The Athletic and has been covering LeBron James specifically since the beginning of his career. Knows his tendencies, has a bit of insight into his thought process on all of this. You know, Joe, the Bronny part of this is part of the story, right? And you know that better than anybody. Do you think that this is actually, you know, where is that on the list of priorities for what LeBron wants next out of his career, playing with Bronny?
Well, I mean, he's said it so many times publicly that, you know, on the one hand, there's no choice but to believe him. He and the family had backed off from this idea for a few reasons. Like, even before Bronny had the health trouble, when he signed it at USC, LeBron sort of took a step back and said, well, you know, I would like to play with him, but this is much more, let's focus on his development and see what happens. I think this is just, you know, for as far as him declaring for the draft, it's just a wise business decision. He's got a really shrewd, smart agent in Rich Paul, who, of course, represents LeBron. And they want to leave all options open. But if LeBron, as arguably the best player of all time, certainly the best player for the last few decades, and if he wants as a retirement gift from the league for all he's done for the NBA to have his son join him, you know, then it will be done. And the Lakers are certainly happy to do it. But for Bronny's sake, like if we're only talking, and Bronny's already wealthy beyond his wildest dreams, like he's going to be great for life. It's fine if basketball doesn't work out. But if we're just talking about his basketball development, it has been a long time since Bronny was even the best player on his team. That's not a knock on him, but it's just the truth. You know, he's an undersized guard who averaged 4 points a game in limited minutes on a bad team. He is not ready for the NBA. And I think that any talent evaluator would say that now. So my hope for him is that he finds a school that he's comfortable with and that he will be able to get on the floor and develop and showcase the skills that some talent evaluators say he has.
Okay, so Joe is sort of painting a picture where LeBron returns to L.A. Is there any scenario that he gets they get help and he gets another ring?
Listen, like to answer your question, like I want to paint a picture of how good and how tough to beat Nikola Jokic is. If he plays for Serbia in the Olympics this summer, I'm not sure that the Dream Team 2 wins. Like, that's how good Jokic is. And, you know, whoever they get, whether it's Trae Young, whether it's Donovan Mitchell, whoever, like, they have to find a way to stop the current best player in the league, and no one, including the Lakers, has been able to do that. So, I mean, is there a scenario? I want to say sure. Regular seasons are going to be hard for any team that has LeBron. He will be 40 years old. And the reason why I voted for Anthony Davis for Defensive Player of the Year this year was because most nights the Lakers were playing like 3.5 on 5 when it comes to defense, and LeBron was one of the guys taking off. He's played too long. He knows how to conserve his energy. He knows that he has to have something left for the playoffs. So a lot of nights he just doesn't defend. And so when you talk about a championship run, like, that is going to put a strain on whatever franchise he plays for during the regular season. Now, could they find the right chemistry? Sure. They need to have somebody big next to him and in between him and Davis, so all the pressure isn't on Davis. Yes. If Jokic gets hurt, great. I mean, not great, but you know what I mean? For as far as the Lakers are concerned, like, that, then you have more of a runaway. But otherwise, like, I just don't see, you know, how the Lakers or a bunch of other teams can be better in the near term than Denver.
Joe, last one from me. What's more important to LeBron right now, winning another ring or having the lifestyle he has in LA?
Oh, wow. 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 Maggie, I don't know. And I think, I mean, that is the issue, but, you know, he's going to say that he can do both. That's what he's going to say. And, you know, I've been saying this, I think over the last 3-ish years, the Lakers have been a tremendous partner for him, and they have done largely what he's wanted them to do. And I think they will try again this summer. They'll try. Like, they want to pay him. They want to take one more run with him. When, you know, some people in the league are saying, like, look, it's like, he's still great, but his championship window is closed. I don't think the Lakers are going to take that approach.
Joe Vardon covers the NBA for The Athletic, knows LeBron James better than anyone covering basketball right now. Joe, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, look forward to it.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Appreciate you. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. I'm sorry, Pearl, if you want
to say
something.
By the way, and Andrew, you can weigh on this too, like, he said the Nuggets and Jokic are a problem. Like, there's like 5 other teams in the West who are crazy young and up and coming. Like, knock out Jokic and you got the T-Wolves and the Thunder and who knows who else coming. Like, that did not paint a title picture for LeBron to me. I'm with kind of where you were, Maggie. Like, this is going to be a tough 3 years if he signs with LA.
Guys, I'm now Casey Kasem. This morning's long distance dedication comes from down the hall. Keep your heads up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Manny and EJ love Kaplan. Manny and EJ, they're diehard Knicks fans. Living in the Big Apple, they're part of the grand plan. But they just witnessed the crushing defeat. 76ers taking the victory, man. That's hard to beat. Sitting in the studio talking about the game. Maggie and Perloff, it ain't all the same. Perloff's a Philly fan. It's hard to stand when your team's on top and your heart's in your hand. Man, Manny and EJ, they lost and confused. Knicks played hard, but it wasn't what they used to. Every missed shot, every turn, all they saw leaving them shocked. They can't believe what they're in for. And they're in.
Wow, what are we doing here? Why don't we start some kind of band? Just get a couple front people. We got the songs. We could.
Kaplan,
be...
is this a music station? What the hell is going on here?
That was amazing. It sounds like any boy band.
Yeah, I think those guys are opening up for Justin Timberlake.
Is that
this
not
summer.
One Direction? That's yeah, what I like, assume.
Oh, was it One Direction? I wouldn't know their catalog. I don't know their voices well enough. Rather.
I was embarrassed to weigh in because I had no idea what band that was. And I was just like, I'm going to not touch it. It's probably something I should know.
Well, maybe it's AI and you just put in like generic boy band.
Yes, for the lawyer's sake, it is nobody.
Yes, so
it is not. It is not.
I am in no mood.
It is just an AI boy band voice. It's not supposed to be 1, 2, or 3 directions in sync, 98 degrees, none of those things.
Thank you, Bogus. Yes. None of that's going to keep us from getting sued. Kaplan says he hopes that helps, guys.
Why would that help?
Well, you
hearing about my sorrows in a song?
Yeah.
That doesn't help. It is. No, that doesn't help. When I'm sad and I'm listening to sad music, it doesn't make me feel better. It makes me wallow more in my sorrow.
Well, you know, you got a couple more hours to wallow and then turn it around and you got game 6.
You've got 36 hours to wallow because
game's on so damn late.
You have still 9 Eastern tomorrow.
See, I'm not touching this whole thing because when the Sixers lose game 6,
oh, wait till the song's
the
coming
AI
your
songs
way.
Coming to me. Yeah, I don't even want to know what evil genius Cap is up to.
What
am I supposed to do?
We don't even need AI. We already got an actual Perloff song. We got him singing "We Are the New York Knicks."
Yeah. And even that couldn't save you guys.
Aren't you guys all getting a little afraid of this new AI music writer behind the Maggie and Perloff show?
I love it. Keep it up.
Yeah, because your teams aren't playing right now.
Yes, and when they and when they do, it's going to be a bloodbath for me.
Yeah, what rhymes with Josh Allen?
Yeah.
I can't wait till we get the bad version of Shout when it's on Bill's Misery.
With the AI music writing machine's going to be in 6 months when the Bills lose in the playoffs, it's going to be like a full band in here.
The Bills are going to keep that industry alive single-handedly. Well, I love it, Cap. Thank you.
And in case you missed the collapse or the rally, depending on where you sit, the Knicks were leading by 6 with 30 seconds left in Game 5, about to win the series. But then Tyrese Maxey completed a 4-point play. Josh Hart hit just 1 of 2 free throws. And then Maxey swished a 35-footer to force overtime, which is where the Sixers won 112-106 to push the series back to Philly for Game 6 tomorrow. Maxey finished with 46, the most ever by a Sixer facing elimination. 40 more points for Jalen Brunson, but this time in defeat. Franz Wagner tried to be the hero for the Magic in Game 5 in Cleveland.
10 seconds to go. Cavs by 2. Wagner.
I'm going to stop that since I actually had the break music rolling underneath. What you would have heard was Franz Wagner. All right, with a beat.
10 seconds to go. Cavs by 2. Wagner, left of the lane, drives, missed the dunk. Rebound, Struce. gave it to Mitchell. Foul in the backcourt.
I mean, it's not that far off. There is music at NBA games during action.
This is what Steve Kerr was complaining about during the regular season. There's a club at the NBA game.
So people might not know that if you don't listen and watch the show on YouTube or on Twitch, that's the beat that plays during the break when ads run throughout the country.
Ah.
Right. So if that... I imagine if we ever went to an actual NBA game and they started playing that music, I would think they were trolling us. Now, Bogish and I, see, everyone here is like relatively new. I've worked here in some form or fashion for like 10 years. I've been listening. Bogish has too. We've been listening to that break music forever.
It is the soundtrack of my nightmares.
That and the Cars for Kids ad.
I think we had the same break music at Dan Patrick's.
Oh, did you? It's generic.
I think it's exact same break music. I could be wrong.
What's funny is the songs, for those who don't hear, which is very few of you, they cycle through. So that song, I think, is actually one of the better ones.
Wait, there's more there's break like, songs? Like
a, this has like only been the break song here.
I don't know what you're talking about, EJ.
No, they definitely cycle through. It's not just one song, or at least the beat cycles through.
I listen to all the shows in this one feed that goes to break like that always. I mean, there might be different sections of that beat, but that's the thing.
I'm saying, in that 5 minute whatever, because there's like a bootleg Mortal Kombat like sounding song that's a part of that thing. There's that. There's another one. There's like three.
Oh, now I gotta listen. They're not that different.
Maybe we can replace all this with Kaplan's AI songs about EJ and Manny, about Pete Bellotti wanting the NBA on NBC, sung by computer Taylor Swift yesterday.
The highlight, by the way, that was Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. That wasn't a missed dunk by Franz Wagner. It was an Evan Mobley block in the final seconds, preserving a 104-103 win and a 3-2 series lead for his Cavs.
I have a broadcast question about this. If the Cavs and the Magic advance to say a lot of injuries.
One of them will, yes.
If they advance to say the conference finals, the NBA finals, can the NBA actually switch the finals from ESPN to NBA TV, because I feel like this is the NBA TV series. It's like the Intercontinental Belt in wrestling. Like, this is such a B series. I'm sorry.
I mean, B's a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
Pacers Bucks is the B series.
It is unbelievable how the NBA has jettisoned this series to the back burner.
There's always one, right? There's always one series that ends up being completely forgotten about. And it's usually in the East these days.
Yeah, and NBA TV is a signal that we don't care about you, right?
There was no drama in Game 5 in Milwaukee last night. Still no Giannis or Damian Lillard, but the Bucks got the win, 115-92, behind 29 points apiece for Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton. Doc Rivers said post-game his two stars are very, very, very close to playing. Game 6 is tomorrow in Indy. Let's stay in Milwaukee. Baseball now. Brewers hosting the Rays last night. Tyler Black making his big league debut for the Brewers, got his first hit in his first at-bat, which his dad was then discussing on Bally Sports Wisconsin during Tyler's second at-bat.
I think hand-eye from hockey also helps.
I did it again. I gotta go home.
That's different. That's a different song. Exactly.
Besides that, I'm an idiot.
Wait a minute. How that's did a different this happen song. Again?
It's because when I work off of one mixer and that noise is so ingrained in my head that I don't even hear it. So if I forget to turn the mixer off, then that goes through everything I'm recording.
Listen, that's the same song.
It's not the same song.
Hold on.
I'm not trying to freak you out, Bogish. You're having a psychotic break.
I think I am. You guys can hear it at least, right? I'm not hearing it myself. I'm not hearing it alone. You're all hearing it?
No, we're all hearing it, but the fact that you're not hearing it, and you have a really good ear.
Can I go home?
Something's wrong with
your brain.
You
know what's happening, right? This is our clue to break out of the Matrix. This is it.
This is what they're telling us?
Yeah, this is a glitch in the system.
It's a glitch in the Bogish is what it is.
No, because we're all hearing this. This is a song that plays just in our minds all the time because of this commercial thing we have. It's multiple songs. Like, you guys think it's one song.
It's one song.
The chat is all agreeing with me because you guys don't listen to it like I do. Anyway, and this is our clue. Something is off.
Well, what are we supposed to do with this clue?
Like, I don't know. We got to do something.
Like, run out of the building?
This is like WandaVision when, like, the people realize, hey, this is an alternate reality. This isn't real. This is some kind of virtual thing.
I know not what of you speak.
You actually should watch that. I was going to recommend that to you during your Captain America takedown. Yeah. I think you would enjoy that because my wife has the same thought as you and really liked that show, WandaVision on Disney+.
Why are you guys such nerds?
I think hand-eye from hockey also helps.
Yeah, I'm out.
Definitely the same song.
It's definitely the same song.
Can you play it, Manny? Can we hear it?
Wait, we have, let's take a break. Wait, let's take a break, and maybe we can get both songs, and we'll do a little like a taste test, if you will, an audio test.
I will go properly, fingers crossed, record the entire break with the music, and Manny then can jump around the file and see if there's different songs.
I guarantee you that beat will change at least three times.
All right, well, we got to get to the bottom of this now.
Nothing else matters, by the way, sports-wise.
That's it?
Yeah,
that's
all we got. Who cares? Oh, the Islanders lost. Hey, Pete.
Thank you for making sure to get that in on his day off. Okay. Oh,
whatever. This week's day off.
Oh, shove it. Oh, shove it, bogus.
Look at my paycheck.
Get lost. I love a Pete-ism. Okay, coming up, well, I guess we're doing like an audio test. And also, we've got more LeBron for you. Do we ever? Don't move. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. It has been diagnostics in the break. I mean, we are CSI break music. If you are just joining us, we are going to do an audio test because we think we all are going a little insane here today. Do we play the same music in the breaks over and over and over again? We'll get to sports in a minute. Don't worry about that. But Bogish is having a psychotic break today. You okay?
I don't know. We'll see.
This is as flustered as I've ever seen you.
I'm disappointed.
So you played a highlight before, and it had the break music underneath it.
10 seconds to go. Cavs by two.
No way.
And you didn't even hear that. There's obvious, like, our version of Muzak is underneath that.
Yeah.
It tells us when we're in a break. Then you said you didn't hear it because we've been listening to this song.
12 years.
For 12 years.
Yeah. Over and over again. Three or four breaks an hour for 6 or 7 hours a day.
It's like when you work at the sewage treatment plant, eventually you don't smell it anymore, right? Same as working at a florist.
Apropos.
WFAN had the same song?
I don't think is different.
Is a song.
Fan, yeah. you hear
the actual commercials.
No, yeah. You hear the commercials.
Yeah. So you hear Cars for Kids often, right. Stuff like that.
That music is designed to know that we're not off the air.
Got it.
Right.
So it's not 5 minutes of silence while people are individually playing their own commercials.
Got it.
Because we're all over the country and different ads play and da da da. Okay, so we said this is the same song. And EJ's like, it's not the same song. I think here's where the disconnect is, and we'll play a little sampling. It's the same sounds over and over again, but they're not, and they're always in the same sequence, but they're not the same. So let's play a little, Manny. Okay, so that's one. That's a second one. That is very different. Okay, now a third one. Clearly different. Now the fourth one. Also different.
Yeah, the fourth one sounds a little like the first and second one. The first and second one sound a little bit alike. The third one's a departure.
Sure.
But there's only one break song.
What is multiple meaning?
That was like their white album.
Y'all called me a madman.
Yeah.
But EJ, it's like there's been the same group of those four beats in a row for 10 years in a row.
There's 8 of them. Because like that's just four. That's just a little. There's other beats. We didn't get to play the knockoff Mortal Kombat one, which is my favorite.
Okay, play that one. Fatality.
Yeah, I see.
But you never get to choose, I want this or the other. It's just you hit one button for all of them.
But
right?
It's definitely, but you guys are making it sound like it's just one song that has the same melody that plays throughout. And it definitely is not.
But it's one block of 5 minutes of music that never changes. And there are technically songs that sound different over the course of the song. Like, it's not like, when you said it, I thought you meant it's like a Muzak version of Pearl Jam and then Foo Fighters and then, you know, whatever.
Oh, this we'd is be just so lucky.
It's the same five groups of nonsense over. So that to me, they exist as one entity broken up by our good friend Doug Desher giving us a time countdown.
Wait, by the way, we're really floating over and glossing the real thing we learned here, which is that Bogish can't tell when the music is playing underneath a highlight. Dude, I'm not trying to alarm you.
Yeah, you are.
I'm nervous for you, dude. That's
I've been trying to leave here, Maggie, for a long time, and no one will hire me.
Well, now you can't leave because now we're here and we're not letting you
now
leave.
Now trapped.
Now we lock the door like a Bronx Tale. Now you can't leave.
Great. You get beat up.
Exactly.
At the sewage plant.
I also said the florist. You stop smelling the roses anymore. All right, so Perloff, do you think we got to the bottom of that?
You lost me about 5 minutes ago. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Can I ask what you can't hit? Like, let's play it. Why don't we play different break music for us? can you put on like Air Supply or Christopher, something nice? Give us some different kind of music. You don't have any choices, do you?
No, I mean, we already did a whole bracket full of one-hit wonders. Take On Me is now one of our hour opens because they won the tournament. Maybe we get some of those one-hit wonders back, like Whoop, There It Is or something.
You want to talk about songs getting in your head. If that becomes the break music, I don't know. That's
you
too
much. You can't do 8-6-7-5-3-0-9 again?
Oh, my God. It was that song and it was the Closing Time. Closing Time was the one where, I don't know, maybe because it's not a song I actually really heard much as a kid growing up, so I wasn't as familiar with it.
You're lucky to avoid it.
I didn't. It took me 30 years, but now I'm here.
Welcome to Semisonic's world.
Can we have a production meeting on air right now, by the way?
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about our new open music. I'm going to be honest. I feel like we're playing two little bits of the songs. Like, we got to come out with recognizable songs, maybe a lyric.
Well, Take On Me.
Do we actually play? I feel like we're playing like the small instrumental. Are we singing parts of Take On Me? Why don't we play like 35 seconds of Take On Me before going into the show?
Lyrics into these intro songs?
Yeah. I feel like I'm not recognizing the intro songs enough. Let's do like a minute and a half of Take On Me and then start the show.
Play the whole song. And we did this for an entire month.
You didn't recognize this when it plays?
That one, but there are a lot of the other songs where it just sounds like, oh, okay, I'm not quite sure where we're going here.
Hmm.
But like the open of today's show, what was the song? I need more.
We need four hours.
Yeah. Give me
Perloff wants
5 minutes of Tainted Love to start the show.
Oh, did he just snort?
I did. I rarely do that, too. This has been a long day. I actually woke up extra early today because that Knick game was so bad. I was like, you know, I need a palate cleanser from what happened last night. So I watched the X-Men cartoon this morning at 3:30 in the morning.
What a terrible decision.
Oh my God.
I was like, you know what? I need to just change. There's a new episode today. I'm not going to wait until 5 p.m. and, you know, try not to get spoiled on Twitter. I'm just going to watch it now. So I was up till at 3 a.m. watching cartoons before I came to the show today.
Why are you guys such nerds? The executive producer of our show is up early watching cartoons. We eating main cereal. Lining?
It's the 3-part season finale, and it's getting
get it right, guys.
It's getting really serious at the Xavier Mansion. No spoilers for the folks liking. I know people are watching it, but it's
totally
fire.
Are you waking up early, Perloff, to watch this?
No, I'm not waking up early. By the way, you're out Friday, Maggie. I'm going to play 16 minutes of Indigata Duvita to start the show, and I'm going to be jamming on the air guitar the whole time.
Oh my gosh. EJ, thank you. Manny, hope you're feeling better, man. It's all going to be good, guys, or it won't. Bogus, thank you, and good God, see somebody for that. Andrew Kaplan, as always, Weedo's coffee drinkers. You guys are the best.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.